Today's shiur is Masechta Bavasra, Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, the last words, Me'idin Zelazeh. We had learned in the previous shiur that Shmuel spoke about different rules and different activities that partners could do one on behalf of the other. And one of the halachas Shmuel said one partner could do on behalf of another partner is a Me'idin Zelazeh. They could say Edus one on behalf of the other. Ask the Gemara, Amai, how can one partner say Edus on behalf of a partner? Isn't this a situation of Neugen Bei Dusenheim, that they have partial, they have interest in their testimony, he's my partner? And the Rishonim and Achronim ask the obvious question, that why does the Gemara use the words Neugen Bei Dusen? The Gemara should have said that they're Balei Dover, that the partner is a person that's personally involved, and he's a partner in this property. And in fact, the Ritva says that the Gemara does at times interchangeably use the words Neugin Bei Dusan and Balei Dover. What the Gemara actually here meant was to say that they're Balei Dover. Another teretz that the Rashba suggests, that since, as we're going to learn in a moment, is referring to a situation that he relinquished his share in the partnership. So since he relinquished his share in the partnership, he's not a Bal Dover, but he is Negeya Ba'edus. And that's why the Gemara uses the words Negeya Ba'edus rather than using the words Bali Dover. However, I saw another teretz from Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, which is a very fundamental teretz in understanding the concept of Negeya Ba'edus of Bal Dover. He explains a Bal Dover, a person who is personally involved in a situation, is disqualified from saying Edus. That disqualification can be understood for one of two reasons. One reason is that he's Adam Karvetzel Atzmai, and the person can't say testimony in a situation that he has a personal involvement. Another reason is because we're concerned that Chas V'Shalom, he may lie because he has a personal interest. Says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, we need to understand, if we're referring here to two partners, why can't we say Palgidin Nemonis? Palgidin Nemonis means that I'm not saying testimony to what's relevant to me. I'm saying testimony on my partner's portion. And on my partner's portion, I am not, it's not my property. We have to say that the concern is that since I am relevant to this situation, there's always a concern that I may say something not true. So now we could very well understand the Gemara, says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky. If the Gemara said the concern was Bal Dover, we could say the issue of a Bal Dover is because Adam Karv Eitzel Atzmai, because a person is related here. But I'm not related to my partner's portion. That's why the Gemara says the concern is Negeya Be'edus. When we speak about Negeya Be'edus, there the issue is an issue of lying. And since he's my partner, we're concerned that he may say something untrue, and that's why I'm considered a Negeya Be'edus, the Gemara asks, and I should be puzzled. So again, the Gemara's question here is that since we're partners, and as the Rashbam explains what is the situation under discussion, the situation under discussion, says the Rashbam, is that I am a partner with someone else in a property, and now someone claims that part of this property belongs to him, which would obviously diminish my share and my partner's share in this property under question. And that's why the Gemara is saying that how could I say testimony, aren't I a Negeya Be'edus? Answers the Gemara, Hachimai Skinen, Al Gemara is referring to a situation, the Kosovlei, where the partner who's saying testimony wrote, Din Udvarim Enli Asadazu. He's relinquishing his rights to this property. And as the Ran explains the Gemara, the Chiddush of this Gemara is that not only, obviously, had I relinquished my rights and share in this property prior to this error, prior to this Din Torah, I would have a right, I certainly could say Eidus. Here the Gemara is teaching us that even though I only decided to relinquish my share after the complaint was made, since at this point I am not relevant, I'm not a partner here, it's considered that I am not a Negeya Be'edus. As the Rishonim, the halacha is that if somebody is disqualified at the beginning from saying Eidus, Tchilosa Be'paslus, if at the beginning he was possible from saying Eidus, he can no longer become a kosher aid for this case. So here, I was originally a partner, and I was possible to say Eidus. How could I become kosher after I relinquish my rights? So most Rishonim, the Rimigash, and other Rishonim respond that the issue of Tchilosa Be'kashrus, the Soif of Be'paslus, was only said when it's a Psula Guf. Here, we're not talking about a Psula Guf. It's not that I'm a Ganif or something like that. It's a Psul because I'm a partner, and that there is no, on that type of Psul, there is no concept of Tchilosa Be'paslus, the Soif of Be'kashrus. Others say, unlike what we just quoted from the Ran, that I relinquished my rights to this property prior to the error, prior to the Din Torah beginning, and therefore, from when this Din Torah commenced, I have been a kosher aid. Others say, a different teretz, that since we're referring to a field that Yesh Bekedei Chalukah is large enough to be divided, so it's always as if I'm only somewhat related to this field, because this field is always about to be divided. It's Yesh Bekedei Chalukah, and that's why I'm not considered apostolate. The Rishonim also go on to discuss, even if I have now relinquished my rights, but until I relinquished my rights, weren't I eating peiros from this field? And now I will have to return those peiros. So I am still a Nogei Beidus. So I saw two answers. One answer is that's referring to a situation that I did not yet eat peiros, so I have nothing, it doesn't involve me. Or that the Edom aren't speaking about peiros, and therefore the peiros that I ate are not part of the Din Torah. Furthermore, the Rashba, the Ramban, all explain that why did the Gemara have to, and we'll see that, we'll understand this better in a moment, have to say that the way I relinquished my rights was by saying Din Udvarim Ainli Besadazu. Why couldn't the Gemara just said a more conventional way of my relinquishing my rights, that I actually sold my share, as we're going to learn in a moment, is indeed the case that the Gemara identifies. So the Gemara says, the reason the Rishonim explained, the reason the Gemara chose this teretz is to teach us a chiddush, that according to Shmuel, just by saying Din Udvarim Ainli Asadazu, it's an effective means of relinquishing my right. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Kikasul of my Hava, if somebody wrote this, would it be indeed effective? But Tanya, Haimel Chaveri, we learned the Masechtik Subis. Haimel Chaveri, Din Udvarim Ainli Asadazu. If somebody says, I don't want to have any claim to this field, Ainli Asigba, I don't want to have any connection to it. The Yadim Masulakis, I'm withdrawing myself from it. Lord, I'm a clump. As we learned the Gemara Masechtik Subis, the Gemara said, because these aren't really effective means of relinquishing rights. It's more like, we explain, like a tefillah, I'm being mispalel, I'm davening, halavai, I never had any connection to this property, but it's not an effective way of relinquishing my rights. Answers the Gemara. Hachav ma'iskinen kishkana miyodai. It wasn't just that I said this, I did an actual kinyan. Machloikas rishayim. If for this kinyan to be effective, does it have to be done in front of Edim? Or as long as the kinyan is done, it doesn't have to be done in front of Edim. Furthermore, for machlokes rishonim, when the Gemara now sort of changes and it says that shekana b'yodai, that I actually made a kinyan, how are we to understand what the Gemara means? Does it mean that the Gemara isn't changing that I said din udvarm ein li asada zu? But the Gemara says that terminology on its own is not effective. So now says the Gemara, if together with saying din udvarm ein li asada zu, I did a kinyan, it will be effective. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Or what the Gemara means, other Mishnayim explain, is that the Gemara is completely changing from these wording of din udvarm ein li asada zu, and the Gemara is saying that I'm making a regular, full-fledged kinyan in relinquishing my rights. I saw that the Sefer Birkas Avram actually explains that this machlokes rishonim is based on how do we understand kinyan. If the explanation of kinyan is that kinyan shows that I'm serious about what I'm doing, so certainly the kinyan is what shows that, and therefore it doesn't make a difference what terminology was used. That's one approach amongst the Rishonim. That's one approach to explain the Mikras Avraham. Others say that a kinyan has halachas, what is considered a valid kinyan and what is not considered a valid kinyan. And this type of language, and this type of language is not a valid kinyan, and even though if I didn't act a kinyan with this, it would not be effective. As the Gemara, the Kikana Miyodai, if I did this act of kinyan, my hava, why is it considered that I'm no longer a baal dover? Harei mamidoi b'fnei baal choyvoi, as the Rishonim explained the Gemara. What's happening here is that I am indeed relinquishing my right to this property. But we know that if I owe someone money, the halacha is that he could go to my nechasim mishubadim. So if I now go and I sell this property to my, relinquish it to my partner, if prior to this I owed money to someone, and now I won't have the ability to pay that debt, my baal chayv will come to the person I relinquished my share to and say, okay, now you have to give me back the property. So therefore I am relevant, I do have still a vested interest in this situation, and therefore the Gemara's question is, why am I not considered a nogeya be'edus? This, as the Gemara says, Dama Ravin b'Shmuel m'shmei d'Shmuel ha'moich esadu l'chaveroi. If somebody sells a property shaloi b'chrayis, even if he sells it to somebody else, that he won't be responsible to that party if that property is taken away from him, he's still considered a nogeya be'edus to this property. He can't say testimony regarding this property because this, he's still relevant to the property because his baal chayv could always collect it if he doesn't have another mean of paying off his debt. And a person wants to pay off his debts, explains the Rashbam, because there's a concept of loiva rasha for lo yishalim, that a person doesn't want to be in the category of being a Rasha of not paying off his debts. And actually, the Rimigash makes a very interesting observation in human nature. He's saying, why is the person considered a Negei Be'edus? Because he doesn't want to be in the category of a Leiva Rasha that he doesn't pay off his debts. Ask the Rimigash, and that's why we're going to, since he doesn't want to do that Aveira of not paying his debt. Ask the Rimagash, and what about the Aveira of lying? Because of that, a lie? Lying is also an Aveira. Answers the Rimagash that unfortunately, in people's mind, lying is less of an Aveira than not paying debt. And therefore, a person will quicker lie than not pay his debt, and that's why he's considered a Negei Be'edus. The Rishonim also debate is when the Gemara and Shmuel is calling such an individual Negei Be'edus because he has a vested interest to pay off his debt here, is that even in a case where a person has many pieces of property, so this is not the piece of property that his Baal Choy will collect from, he has the opportunity to pay his debt anyway from other property, or even if the person has a lot of property, and therefore this property that he's relinquishing will probably never be the property that he's going to have to use to pay his debt, we can never be certain what will be, and therefore he's still considered a Negei Be'edus. Answer to Gemara, Hochmai Skinen, we're referring here to situation, the Kibbol Achrayis, when the person guaranteed to the person that he relinquished his right that he will have to reimburse his partner if his partner has to give up what is taken away. So therefore, he has nothing to lose because he's going to have, because he's going to owe money no matter what. If he doesn't owe it to his Baal Choyv, he'll owe it to his partner. And therefore, says the Gemara, the only time he's considered a Negei Be'edus is when he would not have to reimburse his partner if that part was seized. If, however, he's going to have to reimburse the partner, so there's going to be a new obligation that he has to pay and be concerned of anyway, and therefore he's not a Negei Be'edus. And the Gemara clarifies this. Achrayis demand. What kind of guarantee was made here? Inem achrayis the alma. If he made a guarantee to his partner that if any claim is ever made that this property wasn't his, he will then reimburse his partner for this property being taken away. So certainly, Koshkein and Nichalei, certainly he's a Negei Be'edus by saying that this property belongs completely to his partner and not to anyone else. How can we claim that he's not Negei Be'edus? Says the Gemara, Al Achrayis Tasle Machmasei. He only accepts upon himself the Achrayis, not if the property is taken away from the partner, because it's properly proven that it was never his. That he won't have to reimburse the partner. And that's why he's not a Negei Be'edus. He only accepted upon himself that if his Baal Choyv will take away the property, he will reimburse his partner. And then, he's indeed considered a Negei Be'edus. He's considered a Negei Be'edus. Then he's not considered a Negei Be'edus because he's a life of Allah Shavalai Shalom in no matter what. And as, so in other words, he has, in order to be, avoid being a Negei Be'edus, he has to give up his property to his partner with a kinyan, and the guarantee that he makes is that he has to guarantee to reimburse his partner if the property is taken away by one of his Baal Choyv, but not if it's taken away because it turns out that it was never his. Ask the Gemara, v'chi misalik nafshi minei, mi misalik, can somebody just walk away from, relinquish his rights? Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, B'nai Yir Shenigna Sefer Torah Shalhem, if a Sefer Torah was stolen from a city, Ein Danim B'dayonim Oiseir, the Dayonim of that city cannot be the Dayonim for that in Torah. Ve'im Mavir Raya Man She Oiseir, nor can they be Edim for this in Torah. Because the Negei B'davar, it's their Sefer Torah. Ask the Gemara, if the approach that we've just suggested is valid, v'misa lislik lebeitrei minayu, let two individuals of the city relinquish their rights from the Sefer Torah. And as the Rishonim explain, two people aren't enough for to be Dayanim, But we learned the Gemara, we're going to learn the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin that says Shnayim Shadonu Dineim Din. That if two Dayanim B'dieved Paskin and Entire it is valid, and therefore by them relinquishing their rights V'ladainu, they should be considered kosher Dayanim, and therefore they should be able to. We don't have to look for Dayanim from a different city. Again, ask the Rishonim, as we asked at the beginning of this year, isn't this a situation of tchilasa bepaslus? They were originally disqualified, and they can no longer be qualified. So again, as we said earlier in our shir, the concept of tchilasa bekashrus or tchilasa bepaslus is only an psul aguf, and here it's not a psul aguf, it's only a psul of a money situation, and therefore it's not considered tchilasa bepaslus. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest, the concern is of tchilasa bepaslus is only regarding edim, but not regarding dayanim. And as I explained, we are referring here to a situation of edim. Answers the Gemara: one cannot relinquish his right from sefer Torah. Sani sefer Torah d'lashmi yikai. Everybody needs the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is needed to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore it's considered that he has benefit from it and he can't relinquish his right. And as the Rishonim explain, if so, a Gemara doesn't mean specifically Sefer Torah. It means any type of benefit that a person can have, anything in the city that a person benefits from, the roads, etc. The Rishonim discuss what will be the halacha if there's another Sefer Torah. So then it's not that I really need to have a right. I'm not really benefiting from the Sefer Torah because there are other Sefer Torah that I can hear Kriyas HaTorah from. Many Rishonim suggest to Ritvaz, the Rosh says that in a case where there's another Sefer Torah, that indeed I could relinquish my right, and I'm not considered negei ba'edus. The Ritvaz disagrees with the Rosh, and actually in understanding this machlokes Rishonim, the Mefarshim discuss how far do we take the opinion of the Rosh. Why would be the halacha that if in the shul, the Rosh says that if there are other Sefer Torah, then it's not considered that I'm having benefit, because I have the other Sefer Torah I can learn from. Why would be the halacha that if in the shul that I daven in, there are no other Sifrei Torah, but there are other Sifrei Torah in the city? Is that considered a situation that I'm benefiting? Or I could daven always in another shul. Some say that no, I daven in this shul, and this shul I need the Sifrei Torah, so I'm benefiting from the Sifrei Torah. I'm considered a negei ba'edus. Others say that I always could have another shul, and that's enough that I should not be considered a negei ba'edus. The Mari Vayil, based on this Gemara, teaches us that we see from here that the point of hearing of Kriyas HaTorah is to hear the laning, not to say, not the reading, but the hearing of the laning. Why is this a relevant question? Because we know that every Jew has an obligation every week to do Shnayim Mikravecha Targum on the Parshas HaShavua. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is, could you at least fulfill one of the times that you have to do Shnayim Mikra from hearing Kriyas HaTorah? But if we'll say, as the Mari Vayil says, that this is considered Shmiya, and the Chiyuv of Shnayim Mikra is Kriya, so we can't be Mekayim Kriya with Shmiya. Ask the Mefarshim, but why is this considered that I'm having benefit? We know there's a rule, a mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu, that a mitzvah is not considered having benefit. And therefore, hearing Kriyas HaTorah is not considered a benefit. It's kiyum mitzvah. And why is it considered that I'm a negei be'edus? So the Chanan Vasseman explains in the Kaibet Shiurim that the level of Hanah to be considered a negei be'edus is a very high standard. Even if in other areas of halacha it may not be considered a hanah, but any hanah any type of hanoah will make me disqualified as a negei be'edus. So yes, mitzvah slav lahenis nitnu. But here, for this level of, to be a negei be'edus, there's a very high, very serious threshold, and I'm already considered a negei be'edus. That's Rabbi Chanan's explanation. In fact, I saw from the Shas Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas, following the same concept, he says that let's say I lent someone money. And as we learned in Masechta Bamitzia, the Torah is very particular about ribbis. The person only is allowed to pay me back what I lent them, no more. So what will be if I daven in a shul where the Sefer Torah of that shul is owned by that individual who owes me money? Is that considered ribbis? She said, of course it's not, that's not ribbis. Because that's not considered a real hanor that it should be considered ribbis. But to be negei be'edus, there's a different standard. However, the Merit gives a different answer. The Merit says that even though mitzvah slav lahenis netnu, Talmud Torah, as the Taz teaches us, he says, is different than all other mitzvahs. Talmud Torah, a part of learning Torah, is having hanor. In fact, Davni Nezer, in the Hagdama of the Sefer Egli Tal, says that that's an essential component of Talmud Torah, enjoying one's learning. And therefore, here we're talking about Talmud Torah. It is considered having hanor. There's an interesting tshuva that Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan in the Shalos Tshuvos Ber Yitzchak discusses. In he says that Shechita used to be owned by the Jewish community, and any time somebody bought a piece of meat, he would have to pay a tax to the Jewish community. The only time one was exempt from paying that tax was if the meat were to be used for a Seudas Mitzvah. And he discusses a situation where a community together was purchasing, was starting to write a Sefer Torah, and the question was if the Suda that they were having the banquet to start writing the Sefer Torah is considered a Seudas Mitzvah, that the meat purchased for that Suda, one wouldn't have to pay the tax. So he suggests, based on our Gemara, that writing the Sefer Torah b'shutfus, writing Sefer Torah as a community together, is not considered a mitzvah. He says, because our Gemara says that why would the Dayanim not relinquish the right in Sefer Torah? Because they need to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Says Yitzchak Chanan, why didn't the Gemara say a different Torah? The Dayanim aren't giving up their right in the Sefer Torah because they're partners in the Sefer Torah. And since they're partners in the Sefer Torah, they're Mekayim the mitzvah of Atum Kisluchem and Sashir HaZois with the Sefer Torah, and they don't want to give up that mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, from here we see that they're not Mekayim the mitzvah anyway if you buy a Sefer Torah in partnership. Which is also relevant if one can Mekayim the mitzvah of Dalaminim, Vilkaftim Lechem B'yoyim HaRishon, with owning an Esrig in partnership with someone else. However, Yitzchak Chanan says it may be that this situation is different, because he says here the Sefer Torah is not under their control. That's why they're not Mekayim the mitzvah. But it could be if I'm a partner in the Sefer Torah, that I'm a member of the community that's controlling, that has the Sefer Torah in their possession, we are Mekayim the mitzvah. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan goes on to say that certainly the Suda of commemorating of beginning the writing of the Sefer Torah is considered a Seudas mitzvah. His raya is that just like a Seudas erusin, which is just the beginning of a marriage, is considered a Seudas mitzvah, because it ultimately will lead up to a marriage, which is to a full marriage, to Nesuin, which is a Seudas mitzvah. This too is already considered a Seudas mitzvah, because it will ultimately culminate in the mitzvah Ksivas Sefer Torah. Rav Shulev Diskin says, based on this Gemara, we can understand a parish of the Torah. We all remember, he says, that when the Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain, Chatzishev Menashe, didn't want to take their share in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to take their share in Eiver HaYarden, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, fine, on the condition that you will go to battle together with Klal Yisrael to capture Eretz Yisrael? And they said, Loinoshiv el batenu adesnacha bnei Yisrael ishnachlosai. They would not return to their homes in Eivar Yarden until everybody got their share in Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, yes, they have to participate in the battle, and therefore they have to be there until they finish capturing all of Israel. But why do they have to be there until they finish dividing it? The answer is that the people who were getting a share in Eretz Yisrael proper could not be the dayanim for any din tyrus that might have come up during dividing up Eretz Yisrael. Because they're negei bedover. And our Gemara just taught us that if somebody is a negei bedover, he can't be a dayan. The Bnei God, the Bnei Ruvain, who weren't getting a shear in Eretz Yisrael proper, they weren't negei bedover, and that's why they had to remain in Eretz Yisrael to be the dayanim until the land was completely divided up. Tashma, haymetnu mana b'nei iri. If somebody says, give a mana to the people of my city, the halach is, ain't dayanim b'dayanim etzir, the dayanim of that city cannot be a dayan regarding that gift. That means if the yorshim of the person giving the gift protest, he can't be they can't be the dayanim. Ve'mevim rai manches ir, nor could they be edim. Ask the Gemara, Mai, why? L'sak, again, following the approach that we began our shiur with today. L'saki betray nafshayu, let two people relinquish from having any shiur of this gift, v'ladayne, and they should be able to be dayanim. Answers the Gemara, Hachinami, here too we're referring to a Sefer Torah that we just learned in the previous piece of Gemara, that from a Sefer Torah, you can't relinquish, you're always going to have benefit from the Sefer Torah. Tashma, so Gemara attempts a different raya. If somebody says give a mana to the poor people of my city, again, ain't dayanim b'dayanim yosir, the dayanim of that city cannot be dayanim in that case, nor can anybody from that city be edim. As the Gemara, then Tisbra, anayim shakle dayanim mifsali, will the dayanim who have no connection to this money, as the Rishonim explained, aniyim, that dayanim were typically wealthy. That's one of the characteristics. Somebody needs to be a dayan, so they're not going to get this stock of money anyway. So why are they considered noigim bedover? Ela ema ain the donim, but the name aniyos here. The poor people of that city cannot be dayanim. Ve'mevin rai manchias here. Ask the Gemara for my. Even if these people are poor, let them relinquish their rights to any part of this gift, and they should be able to be dayanim. And says the Gemara, Hakanami Sefer Torah. Again, we're referring it to a Sefer Torah, which, as we've explaining, you can't relinquish. You need to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Ask the Gemara for my Karlei Aniyim. Why they called the Aniyim? Answers the Gemara, the Hakol Eitzel Sefer Torah Niyamim. When it comes to learning, everybody needs a Sefer Torah, and therefore everybody's considered an Ani vis-a-vis a Sefer Torah. He needs it to be Mekayim Kriyas HaTorah. Dibayisem Loilim Ketani. We will explain, like we said earlier, Aniyam Mamish. It refers to poor individuals. Of Maniya de Rame Elayim. And Abrais is referring to a situation where the people of that city have to support the poor people of that city, and therefore they all gain from this gift, because this gift was given, the dayan won't have to give any tzedakah, because already it's being taken care of through this gift. Ask the Gemara, Vechi Dami, what are the circumstances that we're referring to? If the Kitzlu, if we're referring to a situation where every member of the city is taxed a certain amount that he has to give for tzedakah, so why not, says the Gemara, lays to be trimenai by the Kitzlu, let two dayanim give their assessed amount, so they now have already given their amount that they have to give, so they have nothing to gain from this gift that's being given by this individual, and they should be kosher dayanim. Answers the Gemara, my skin and the light kitzlu. They weren't assessed a specific amount. Stock is taken on an as needed basis, and therefore they have to gain by saying that this gift is a real good gift, and they won't have to give so much of their own money for tzedakah. V'bayi samelai on the kitzlu. It's referring to a situation that they're assessed a specific amount, and they gave the specific amount. They still, says the Gemara, have something to gain as members of this community by this tzedakah gift, to keep in the ravach ravach. Once there's extra money in the fund, they will not have to give money. If there's money in the fund, then there won't be a need to give in the future. The next year tax rate will go down because there's plenty of money in the fund. Another pshat is that people, even if they give what they're assessed to give, typically if there's poor people more, they give more. And here, they won't have to give more because this money will be available to them. Or another pshat is if there's a lot of money in the tzedakah fund and the aniyim are able to get more money for tzedakah, they'll have the ability with the extra funds they receive to do business and really become Baruch Shem self-sufficient, and therefore the amount of people needing tzedakah in this community will go down. And ultimately, the dalyonim will gain because the tzedakah tax will go down because they'll live in a community that don't have, Baruch Hashem, that many poor people. Furthermore, when Shmuel was speaking about partners, what partners can and can't do for each other, Shmuel said, "V'nasin shomrei sacha zelazeh." They could be shomrei sacha for each other. And as the Rishonim frame the Gemara's discussion now, we're referring probably here that their partner is immetatlin, immovable items. We learned in Masechta Baba Metzia that the Torah says by a shoyl, in Baal of Imai, even though a shoyl, somebody who borrows something from somebody else, has a very high level of responsibility, he's even chayiv for einsim, we learned. The Torah teaches us in Baal of Imai, if the owner is together with the shoyl, then he's not chayiv. And the Gemara said, we learned the Masechta Baba Metzia, that this din doesn't only apply by a shoyl, applies also by a shomer sacher. So says the Gemara, isn't our Gemara referring to a situation where they are each watching half of their assets? So isn't this a situation of Baal of Imai? I'm watching for you and you're watching for me, and that the halacha is that that's Baal of Imai. Amai, asked the Gemara, Shmira bebailim hi, and therefore why is this, so they're not chayiv anyway? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, no, it's referring to situation not where I'm watching, me and my partner, I'm watching half and he's watching half. Rather, it's referring to situation Domle Shmoli Ayoim, I'll watch everything today, you watch everything today, and I'll watch everything tomorrow. And therefore they're not working for each other, and it's not considered Shmira Bebalim. Machlokes Rishonim, if it has to be explicitly set out, they explicitly made this deal with each other, that's why it's not Shmira Bebalim. Or if that's just the way it is, that's already enough that it should not be considered Shmira Bebalim. I saw the Chassidish Sfarim explain that this concept of Shmir Bebalim is important in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an important concept in us having an opportunity not to be in Chayiv for all of our Averis. They explain, certainly it's unacceptable to do an Avera, but it's much less of a sin, they explain, if somebody, Nebuch, does an Avera because he had a taiva, he had a desire for something, versus if Chas v'Sholem, it comes from Kfira, it comes from not from Yapikursus. They explain, because as long as somebody always remembers Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, He's in the category of Balav Imai. And our Gemara says that if you're Balav Imai, it's much less of a level of responsibility. They explain, that's what the Pasuk says. Achas Shoalti Meis Hashem Oysa Avakesh. A person, our entire life, we live here on borrowed time. Everything we have borrowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that, as we said a moment ago, brings a very high level of responsibility. Even for an oinus, I should be chayif. But we say, shifti b'beis Hashem, kol yimei chayoi. I'm always together with Hashem. B'beis Hashem, it's ball of imoy. Therefore, since it's ball of imoy, as our Gemara just explained, ball of imoy is a p'tor. Tana Rabban. So we learned in a b'raisa. Machloi bayis. If somebody sold somebody else a house, machloi soda, or somebody else, or he sold them a field. And now there's a question on the ownership of this house or field. It was never mine. The halacha is, as we explained earlier, ain maya made aleh. The seller can never say testimony regarding the buyer, for the buyer regarding this house, because he's a negei bedover. Because if the house is taken away from the person who I sold the house to, I'm going to have to reimburse him. And if I'm going to have to reimburse him, that's why I have a vested interest here. Machloi para, if I sold somebody else a cow, machloi talis, meira aleh, mishnech reslo. By metatlin, there is no concept of a chrayis. Ask the Gemara, maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? It's not. The difference shouldn't be between karka or matatlin. It should be the difference is whether there is a chrayis or not. Amar of sheishes responds with sheishes. Reisha, the reisha is referring to such a situation. Ruvain shagazal sodom shimon. Ruvain stole a field from Shimon. Now this wasn't proven with Edom, but in Beis Din we hear Shimon complaining that Reuven stole this field from Shimon. And now Reuven went and sold it to Levi. V'asa Yehuda v'kama Aaron, and Yehuda now comes and says that the house is not Levi's, nor was it ever Reuven's, but it was always his. The Lazel Shimon, that the halacha is that Shimon cannot say testimony on behalf of Levi. Listen to Levi. The Nichalei de Hedra. Shimon wants the property to go back to Levi because he wants one day to be able to prove that Reuven, who sold it to Levi, really stole it from him. And therefore, his testimony is considered Nogei Be'edis because he wants to be able to reclaim this property one day. Ask the Gemara, the Kivan to ask the Levi who, once Shimon testifies that the property belongs to Levi, and not to Yehuda, how could he one day be successful in taking away from Levi? Didn't he admit that it belongs to Levi? Says the Gemara, he never said it belongs to Levi. All he said was, I know that it doesn't belong to Yehuda. Yehuda wants to claim that it belongs to him, and Shimon is saying that no. Ask the Gemara, Bahuz Chusa, the Kamapkle Milevi, Lafkim Yehuda. But whatever proof Shimon ultimately wants to have, that he should be able to reclaim the property from Levi, why can't he use that same proof against Yehuda? Answers the Gemara. Dama, Hashem Noichli, it's easier for me to have a din Torah with Levi. Levi is an easier opponent than Yehuda. Actually, the Rishonim point out that the Gemara should have said Harishin Noichli and Hasheni Kashmir, because Levi came before Yehuda. But this is a terminology that we find and Masechta Ksubis, so the Gemara uses the same point. But the point being that Shimon says Levi is an easier opponent than Yehuda. V'boy Seima. The case here is Kigoy the Islay Sadi Lamar, Vislay Sadi Lamar. Shimon has Edom backing up his contention, and Yehuda has Edom backing up his contention. V'am Rabbanan, and Rabbanan Chazal taught us, Era Hecha Dekayim Tekum. And whenever we have a question on real estate, the property is left in the hands of whoever is currently holding it. So, if Shimon were to allow Yehuda to produce Edom and then take the property from Levi, then Yehuda would then be considered the owner of the property. Now, even if Shimon will now bring Edom, that the land is really his, it won't happen. Because we have Shimon's Edom versus Yehuda's Edom. And the halacha, as we just said, is that the land stays status quo by Yehuda. So therefore, Shimon is anxious to disqualify Yehuda's Edom before the land ever comes to Yehuda. And then he'll use his Edom to take the land away from Levi. And once that is accomplished, the situation is just the opposite. The land is by Shimon, and now if Yehuda will bring Edom, that it really belongs to him, the status quo will teach us that it should remain by Shimon. And that's why Shimon here is considered a negei be'edus, and he can't be involved in this dintayra.